Thank you, guys. Yeah. Philippians chapter 3. Just the fact that you guys are here this morning in Calvary Chapel, Ocean Gateway, tells me that that song is in the very heart of each one of you. So might we look at the Word of God that we might learn how He would be worshipped, because it's the desire of our heart. And I think the beautiful thing we learn as Christians, and is so important to remember, is that we're a fallen people living in a fallen world. And somehow, by the power of God, we struggle through this fallen world and with fallen natures. And in spite of all that, God says, I love you so much. You're mine. I've got an eternal home for you. Just keep plugging, just keep plugging. You don't have to work to heaven. That's why I sent my son to die for you. But since he's done that for you and you've received that now, be people that draws more to me, that I can have a lot more people live with me for eternity. And he calls us to do that as Christians. And this is our time to look at the Word of God and learn how he might be worshipped, that how we might be witnesses for him, to use our lives to do that. Because he's long-suffering and patient. He hadn't brought the rapture yet, desiring that all men come to repentance. And he's given us the privilege to be his vessels, his arms and his legs, until that day. So might we call on the power of God to do just that. Chapter 3 of Philippians, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. For me to write these same things to you is not tedious, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish or dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God, imputed to me by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know how far I'm going to get into these verses this morning, but we're going to give it a shot. And as usual, I woke up this morning about 4 o'clock. And so if I would have prepared an outline, or even my notes are sort of obsolete because God sort of changed the message to a degree. And anyway, I've got to go with what he gave me. So let's hold on and see. It starts out, Paul, in chapter 3 says, finally, guys, If you know me and my teaching, how many times do I say, and finally, and to close, and like any good preacher, what does Paul do? Well, he didn't mean to end his message right there at all. He was just sort of trying to draw attention to what has been set up to this point and saying, now, this is the main thing out of everything I've been saying. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. This is the epistle of joy that Paul speaks to us there. And he's not really wrapping, he's rather not wrapping things up, but he's saying, rejoice in God and not in your life's circumstances. Rejoice in God and not in the circumstances of life. Because we can be in bad circumstances, we can be in good circumstances. This morning, some of you guys are riding on Easy Street to some degree, in some part of your life or another, and some of us are on the 90 miles of bumpy, bad road. You know what I'm saying? It's true. And we all have the easy streets sometimes and the bumpy roads sometimes, but guess what? God says rejoice in the Lord, not in the road that you're riding on. And the trials that come through that, there's a greater joy that comes in rejoicing in God. You're saved. You're His. And even in the bad times, God manifests Himself to us in a special way that we can't receive in the good times. We can't have jubilation and exultation without sorrow because there's nothing to measure it by. You see what I'm getting at? I'm not trying to get into the yin-yang, but there's truth in that. There's got to be an opposite of everything or you have nothing to measure good by. And so God created us in the world that it would fail and fall in vanity, that there might be a hope. And so we have the experience of the up and the down both so that the up has meaning to it for us this morning. And Paul is saying for us today that whether you're in the up or the down mode, it doesn't matter. Rejoice in the Lord. Have joy in the Lord. You belong to Him. He's working. He's going to make you like Jesus. Ultimately, that's the bottom line. When it's all said and done and over with, you're going to be like Jesus. Well, why don't we recognize that that's what God's doing in our life? Because we are called. We did receive Christ because of His wooing and drawing us. We belong to Him for eternity. That's where we're going to be. So we should rejoice in that, no matter what. And somehow, as we mature and grow as Christians, we realize even on the bumpy roads, God's doing something in me to make me like Jesus. And therefore, all things worketh for the good for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because whom He foreknew, He foreordained to be conformed into the image of His Son. He's planned to make you like Jesus. He's going to do that. And so we trust that in our lives. Rejoice in that in spite of some of the trials. And when we rejoice only in the good circumstances, when the circumstances aren't good, they turn into a thief that steals our joy. And so we don't want to allow circumstances to be a robber in our lives. Peter said that our joy should be unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. There's always a place, no matter where we're walking, where we are in our lives, that is full of glory. When we place our hope and we know what God has done for us as Christians.